Broadcasting from the media epicenter of the world.
Tell me a tale, it's the cocktail hour. I said, tell me a tale, it's the cocktail hour. Well, I said, tell me a tale, it's the cocktail hour. You better tell me a tale, cause it's the cocktail hour.
I'm clean, yeah, baby.
Really?
Episode 164, June 22nd, 24. Hello, America. Hello, my partners in crime, Danny, John. What the hell?
How Happy summer. It's summer now. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That started yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And like clockwork, 100 degrees in Manhattan.
Yes. And I read there's like 2 million people in the United States that are going to be cooking this weekend and this week, all over the United States. All these places that have had cities that have had records, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's the forecast. The record is the forecast now.
Like Manhattan. Rochester, New York.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like every year. And the record today will be set in.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on, you guys?
It's almost like it's climate change.
It's like the end of the world. End of the world.
No. Do you want to know my prediction? Here's the
thing.
I remember when I was younger. And I read things. One of the things I read was that the pole had, like, we haven't always pointed towards the North Star. Like 25,000 years ago or 250,000 years ago, the Earth's axis pointed a different direction. And at some point it changed. And I wonder, are we in a, I mean, who knows how long that probably can't happen in an afternoon, you know, that kind of thing. But I wonder if something's changing and things that were cooler, Rochester, New York, are getting warmer. And, you know, maybe that's why South Pole is melting and the North Pole is growing or whatever. I mean, what if it all shifts and like the new North Pole is in St. Petersburg or somewhere? I don't know.
But don't you think that if the tilt was changing, that all the, you know, the super measurement systems that we have now, they would have noticed and it would have been the headline on the paper. Did, one no, millimeter. This
no, no,
decade.
No. They didn't. They haven't built a machine to check that yet. They never expected.
No. Oh, come on. They could use.
Nobody's thinking like I'm thinking.
They could use it. There's an app, probably.
An app.
The sextant app.
I know that it is. There's definitely a machine. I saw it. MacGyver used it to get himself out of a car once.
Yeah, gum and a paperclip and a magnet.
I saw it. It exists.
And he used it well.
Yes. Yeah. He got, actually, that was the season, the finale. Yeah, I had to wait till the next season to see if he got out. And the machine, you know, took care of him.
Wouldn't that be great to, like, to have a show with that kind of season finale and it doesn't get renewed and you're just sitting on it for your whole life? Like, I wonder what happened to MacGyver.
Right. And the 7 really rabid fans, every time they see you, hey, what happened? I was watching that, right? What was going to happen?
Take my car keys and do something with them, man.
Yeah.
Make a flute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I looked at this thing. It says the location of Earth's magnetic north and south poles gradually shift and even completely flip locations every 300,000 years or so.
Oh, no. Now I'm really worried.
Every 300,000? And what are we at now? 299? You know?
Yeah, we got like an hour. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Wouldn't it be funny if when it does shift, it's not gradual. It's like it just goes like, and my toupee falls off.
Well, National Geographic says Earth shifting magnetic poles don't cause climate change. And it says they have reversed. Well, this is the pole reversals. So the Earth's magnetic poles have reversed 183 times in the last 83 million years. But that's not, you know, that's not what I'm.
How much
are
you going to have to pay for that? Because somebody's going to raise my rates on something. Like, mm-hmm. I know what's going to happen. Yeah. Right?
That damn Jeff Bezos is going to start
charging.
Yeah,
right. Right.
Yeah, it takes 7,000 years for the magnetic field to reverse polarity. It says let me set an alarm on my
iPhone here.
You know what? I think this has affected my bowel movements. This change.
That could be the explanation.
Missing it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's something.
Oh, God, help me.
I think I'm going to have to approach it from a whole different angle now. Right.
Literally. Again. Like your turds in the toilet. Now the hook is now pointing a little bit to the garage.
Yeah, you got to do it. You got to do like, oh, on a 20 degree angle on your toilet now. You got to kind of prop it up with a shim. Right. You know, once again, here we are educating the world. I mean,
you know,
pay attention, people.
And
pay attention.
We do it well.
Yes.
No cell phones allowed. No smartphones allowed.
John, what are you doing? You're going deeper into this.
Yeah, what are you doing?
So now I realized the magnetic quality of the North and South Pole was not really what I was interested in. I was interested in the tilt of Earth's axis. That's what makes you look at the North Star or not.
Yeah.
And it says rampant groundwater pumping has changed the tilt of Earth's axis as a, you know, Scientific American. And the North Pole has drifted by more than 4 centimeters per year. There you go. We've lost enough groundwater to measurably tilt the planet's axis of rotation.
What website is this?
Scientific American. They say the net water lost from underground reservoirs between 1993 and 2010 is estimated to be more than 2 trillion tons. And that's caused the geographic North Pole to shift at a speed of 4.36 centimeters a year.
Okay, that's
they have calculated.
Cool.
So is there some way to calculate? So you're right, Danny. There's an app for that.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's some shit.
Just dandy.
Yeah, they measure it by observing quasars. Yeah, go figure. And then the number one senior posture corrector device is flying off the shelves, says the ad on the website.
Because of that?
And the seniors are standing up straighter.
Because the tilt of the earth?
Yeah.
No, it's just an ad.
As if I didn't have enough to worry about in aging. Now I got to worry about the tilting of the axis. Now I need posture repair.
Oh, for the love of God.
You know,
jeez.
Some days you just don't want to get out of bed. You know what? Ah, jeez. Well,
anyway.
Maybe that's why it's not like, is that why it's 1,000,000 degrees everywhere? You know, I don't know.
It might just be hot. I don't know. Maybe people are weaker. I mean, New York City, right? In the summertime, it gets hot. And Al Roker comes on the news to Today Show, whatever. Oh, you know, it's a scorching thing. And now the news is 35 million people are in peril. They may all die from the heat wave, you know. And I got a thing that, like in India, it was 120 something degrees. And I think, damn, do the folks in India have air conditioning? What do they do when it's 120 degrees?
Yeah, what do they do?
You just eat some really spicy food and go, well, it's like not that hot. Yeah.
No, so they go with lay under like cows. They lay under the cows because they're sacred. So they lay under them and it gives shade. Lowers are about 20 degrees.
You think a cow would be hot? It also wants to lie under something.
Okay, there's a limit to using a cow for shade. And I'll tell you why, because I've experienced this. I was in the...
Shit.
Here we go.
In the summertime, once I was working in Lincoln, Nebraska, and it hit, I think it was like 117. And it was all over the news that cows were just going, fuck it, and dropping dead out in the pastures. Yeah. So if you're lying under one of them for shade, there you go.
Make sure it's got some stamina. Make sure it's maybe a little underweight, so it's not going to.
Give it a drink, maybe.
Oh wait, what if you waited until late afternoon to lie in the shadow of a cow, so then when it falls over, you're kind of out of the way.
Oh, that's true.
You know, we get the long shadows. Just stop moving.
You think ahead. That's what I like about you, John. You got deductive reasoning. And
yeah, I mean, I can't say I want to be under cows. Mm-mm. You know,
no.
I mean,
I was under one once, but. That was in New York a long time ago, and
no, that was a bull or bear.
Most impressive.
Well, it was hard to tell in those days. I don't know what
to tell you. Most impressive set of teats I've ever been under.
Professional bull milker. Yeah.
Yeah, you can use them for pull-ups.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so
talk to me.
I have a story.
Oh, stories, love stories.
Last night, I was at our local comedy club. I've got some friends visiting. My wife's college roommate and her daughter are here. You know, they just drove in from, I don't know, Texas or whatever. You know, a lot of drama. Yeah, yeah. I'm helping them with an oil change today. And so we went to the comedy club, I haven't been to the little room there. You know, we've been to the big room at the local comedy club.
I didn't know there was a little room.
There's a little room. And, you know, they call me and they're like, I've got 4 free tickets for you. I'm like, all right. So we went and had a, you know, cheeseburger and $11 beer like you do. And they had a bunch of comedians on. Some of them were good, some of them weren't. And I was still thinking about Kelly getting up and doing his comedy routine. You would have been a superstar last night. Just telling jokes or whatever. Because these people were, you know, you go to a comedy club and they're trying out new material. Like I'd seen some of these comics before. And
In the little room you just saw?
I have seen them in the big room. You know, Jewish guys that, you know, that are the comedians, you know, and you're like, oh, I've
Jewish
seen that
comedians?
Guy before. Yeah, okay. There are. Yeah. I think
in this day and age.
Yeah. I can't think of anything funny about that right now, but so they were kind of busting our chops because little tiny room, you know, maybe 20 tables tops. And we were kind of in the front because there was a little table at the very front of the stage. And the guy's like, would you like to sit here? And we're like, oh, hell no. We'll sit this other type. So nobody sat in the very front. So we were kind of in the front. And my wife's college roommate, she is not the kind of person that kind of lets go. She's kind of reserved individual. And they were busting her chops. Like, you know, she was laughing at them. Like, oh my God, this is so terrible. That kind of thing. And at one point, one of the guys was like, hey, you know, laugh, look at me, you know, just like really whatever. And then
really?
Yeah. And it was, you know, it was kind of a comedic thing, but there was a lady in the crowd, just an old woman. There's two old women in the crowd, but one of them was the kind of person that just says stuff, not like heckling, you suck kind of thing. But they would tell some story and she would be like, oh, gross, you know, and it would just throw everybody off. And and they were all like, well, you're a chatty Cathy, aren't you? And then she was, you know, she'd had too much to drink, but she wasn't, you know, belligerent. But I mean, it was the kind of, we were busting up at her. So the comedians are, you know, 4 to 6 on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, in terms of their general comedic value. And they were kind of, you know, you could tell they were working on jokes and some of them would just fall flat and they're like, oh, a little note, you know, don't do that one like that again. And this lady was just like, you know, just saying stuff and talking back to him. And there was an elderly woman there at another table, and she and her son were there. And it was weird. They asked the son, cause he was kind of right in the front and center. And, you know, he's probably 50. And they were like, hey, you know, you're good. You're a good looking guy. You know, do you have a job? And she was like, no. And, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then the son revealed that the woman was actually an actress. And she was Aunt Lydia in the Home Alone 1 and Home Alone 2 movies. Like that meant something. And I'm like, I don't know who the fuck Anne is. And I'm, you know, and then that's making me laugh more because like that, you're throwing that out there. You remember Aunt Lydia from the Home Alone movies in 1981, you know, whatever.
Wow. And she must be ancient.
Yeah, she was older. She'd been married for 20 years and she moved out here, you know, like all this kind of comes out. You know, he's asking her, you know, are you divorced? Blah, 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 blah. And you're like, oh, you're actually an actress that became a talent manager and whatever. So you've got a shitload of money and that's why your son doesn't have to work because y'all live in a fancy place somewhere and he's just getting cosmetic dentistry. That's what that guy was into. But actually,
wow,
the guy that worked the soundboard in the back, you know, it's a little tiny room, you know, one mic.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what the hell do you have to do? This guy, Paul, he got up and started talking and making these jokes like he's from Alabama and everybody has sex with their sisters and, you know, that kind of thing. And I recognized him. I used to work with that guy at one of my past jobs that I've been laid off of. So after
way back was, home?
No.
Here somewhere.
Here okay. In LA. And actually a job I had here in town. And wow. I went and talked to him afterwards. And he's like 6'6", this guy. Big, you know, doofy kid from Alabama. And he was one of the funnier people.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah.
And well, that's so cool.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was. But I think about Kelly, like, you should do that. And I was telling my friends, like, you know, Kelly, he's got all these jokes and he's thinking, well, I'm not a comedian. And I just go back to my thing, like, fucking act like a comedian. Go You're there right. and do it.
Yeah, what do you got to lose?
Don't they give you 5 minutes? I need 5 hours.
No, you got to.
For my catalog.
Some of them are 5, some of them were 9.
Well, you'll par it down.
No, but don't they have a limit? Or this is an open mic.
No. It wasn't an open mic.
Got it. Yeah.
It was a thing. It was just, you know, 7:30 on a Friday night in the little tiny room. You know, I think Paul Reiser was in the main room. And one of the people we knew is one of the comedians. She's kind of a weirdo, but she said that she was hanging out with Paul Reiser in the green room. And he's like, I've got 40 pages of jokes here. None of them are funny.
Well, I appreciate that he would say that though.
Yeah. And we knew this woman. She used to live in town and she moved away and she's the big personality. And her bit is about being an alcoholic and driving her car through somebody's house and getting a felony. And so she was telling that story.
I thought she was dead. Anne Hesh, you talking about?
No. Oh. Different, lesser known celebrity. And so she was telling this story about, I got a felony and so I can't serve. You know, the good news is I can't be on a jury duty. And my wife shouts out, but you can be president. And she says, fuck you. You just ruined my whole setup. And yeah. And I was trying to think, we've heard her bit a couple of times and, you know, and I think the last time we saw her was probably more than a year ago. So Trump wouldn't have been whatever. And so my wife was just like, oh shit, you know, sorry. Cause like we know her personally and totally fucked up her routine. So she was like, you know, at the end, she's like, thank all of you except her for coming. You know,
I got to hand it to your wife though. That's a good one.
Yeah. No, I mean,
really,
of all the things to shout out, it's the punchline to your setup, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, she was pretty mortified by that.
I'll bet that comic is going to be using that in some way.
You know, I would like to think so. I would like to think that as a comic, you kind of work on your routine and you revise it and stuff. But when I see her and she's got stuff on YouTube, it never changes. It's like, I have 8 kids. I'm an alcoholic. Love vodka cranberry.
Yeah,
and it's
you
know, I've heard this before. You know, it's like I've seen Jay Leno a couple of times and he's a great performer, but he kind of talks about the same thing. Different
right?
ways, but just general he plays at that place every Friday night.
No, I know, but doesn't weekend. he must bring new bits.
Oh, he does bring new things, but it's like when I do a prayer. You know, you've got your wrapper around it and you just throw
I see what you mean. Of which there's nothing wrong with that, I would say.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with it. But then if you've seen Jay Leno 3 times, like I have, just because people come to town and I get free tickets, you're like, well, okay, I've been here.
Okay.
Before.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but he's
how are we gonna get Kelly to go? That's the problem here.
This place, they have the university where you learn and you can practice and you get open mic stuff and, you know, all that kind of thing. So
I have a client who's a stand up and I was saying, you know, I'm interested in trying that. He said, just go do it, man. Go up there, do the open mic, go do it. And I said, yeah, but they have like classes. He says, don't do the classes.
Yeah. You don't need the classes. You just need to kind of workshop your bit in front of all of us, just read off a sheet for 5 minutes and we'll tell you.
I wouldn't want to read off a sheet. I'd want to have it as good as I can get it as an amateur.
Yeah, but what if you get it really good, but your jokes aren't funny?
Well, then
you got to go back and read it. You've done all that memorizing for nothing.
But the problem, you guys won't think it's funny because I test my shit out on the gang all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But things come to me and I say, wouldn't that be funny you're not going to hear anything new.
Well, no, but that's okay. It's all the things around the joke that I think are important, right? So you got the joke, but then you've got your facial expressions, the way you deliver it.
It's the performance.
Yeah. It's that, like, you can't just get up there and Steven Wright it. You know, what does a girl in Alabama say this first time she has sex? Yeah. You got to lead up. You got to do eyebrows and, you know.
Yes. See, I think you ought to go to the comedy class. I think you should go to the comedy classes.
And then
come back and do a bit about the comedy classes. You know.
Well, that's a funny idea, actually.
Yeah. So you go in there and going, so listen, I'm here because I took a class. You know, and then you go off, you know, you're off to the race.
And then when I'm bombing, just say something like, Jesus, that was the best $500 I ever spent.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a shitty teacher in comedy class.
Well, you know, she
was
about
hot.
Bomb.
She was hot. So I was hoping she'd give me the strap, but no.
No. But these folks, some of them came on bombing, you know, like, hey, how you doing? You know, don't tip your waitresses. And like, the guy was just talking. You know, and there was there were no jokes. He was, you know, but he wasn't doing crowd work, any of that kind of stuff. And then other people were saying, like, this one lady, you know, she was, I forget what her name was, something like, you know, Lana Turner or, you know, some famous Hollywood name, but it was just a lady. And she was talking about how her morbidly obese husband died during their divorce proceedings. So she's like, her big thing was, I'm not divorced. I'm a widow. And everybody's like, okay. And the guy before had been talking about, shouldn't people who are thinking about suicide find somebody who's a, you know, a serial killer and they just get together, you know, just for one evening, you know, that kind of thing. And they're like, wow, this is getting dark here at the old comedy club, you know?
Wow. And then,
The funniest thing was this young black guy came out and he's like, I'm raising the black to non-black ratio by one. You know, he's like the only black guy in the whole place.
That's kind of funny.
And he's like, come on, it's Juneteenth was just the other day. Give it up, like, you know, more applause. And he just kind of sat there. He sat on a stool with his foot on the edge of like the little table that nobody wanted to sit at. And he just kind of talked, and his shit was really funny. He was like one of those guys you're like, oh, there's more in store for this guy. Some of the other people were like, yeah, I don't know that you're going to make a career of this. You know,
this guy you're talking about, was he like witty just in the material, or was he also like doing imitations or impressions and stuff?
No, he was just being himself, talking about, you know, how old Joe Biden was and how old, you know, those kind of things. And he kind of had that, whatever that is, like you're a performer, you're whatever. And you're like, oh, this guy's got something, you know?
Cool. Okay.
You know, that kind of thing. You could see him, you know, on a sitcom. That's what happens to comedians, right? They just get a TV show, whether they can act or not.
Well, not anymore.
Well, not all of them.
Well, you know, could Jerry Seinfeld act? I don't know anything about acting, but it seems like when he was on his show, it was like he was almost laughing while he was playing the part. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, maybe that's not good acting.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
You know, sometimes, I think we talked about this before, sometimes, you know, you channel hop at night or whatever, and you ever see the old, you know, the old Tonight Show, Johnny Carson or whatever.
Yeah.
And they bring on these comedians, right?
Yeah.
And some of them are known comedians and they do their bit and everybody in the crowd is just laughing, right? They're all laughing. He's laughing at me. And I'm sitting there going, this isn't funny. But they're on, and but at the time, this was funny stuff.
It's dated, that's all. Yeah.
And I'm just listening, and it's like, you know, their performance is there, everything's there. You know, even it was funny. He had Robin, there was an episode, Johnny Carson doing Robin Williams on in the, you know, and he wasn't doing stand up, he was in the chair.
Yeah.
Robin Williams was not funny. He was manic like he always was, but his jokes were so old, right? Or his old bit was, it was at the time, you'd never seen it before. You'd never seen that kind of.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, this really isn't funny. But I know Robin Williams is funny because I've seen him say funny things.
Yeah.
But, you know, or you'd see somebody like, you know, Buddy Hackett or Rodney Dangerfield and all that, and they're not funny. But at the time, and nobody's faking it either. The audience and Johnny Carson are just, you know, just laughing.
So you're saying at the time, 1981,
80,
people were laughing. But you were looking at it now going, well, that's objectively not funny.
It's not even that makes sense.
I feel like Robin Williams was an unafraid, you know, ad-libber. Yeah. Like he would just go down any road, you know, that just came to mind, right?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. But sometimes they hit, sometimes they didn't, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, like the mic, you know, because he was so loud, the boom guy at the Tonight Show had to be careful because he'd go, nah, you know, and you'd see, and of course the mic would move. And then, you know, and then, of course, Robin Williams would turn around and go, oh, my God, it's Flipper, you know, or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And but it's like, OK, but it's funny, but it's not really like, I mean, Carson was just cracking up. But the only one I did see that was still funny and cracked me up was Stephen Wright. The Stephen Wright jokes, you know, because he's, first of all, he's that so deadpan, right? Which is, you know, going back to you, Kelly, about doing this, you got to have that persona of sometimes. If it's just, you know, somebody up there, you know, that's just telling jokes, I think that you got to be really good. You have really super good material, right? Like a Jay Leno did at the time or Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah. But Stephen Wright, part of his, you know, his stuff, is just that, you know, that kind of just dry, no energy.
That is his trademark. Exactly.
And that persona really does add to the material. Like what John was saying, he's like, it's not, you know, if you got great jokes, they're going to be funny, right? If you tell them right, right? But if you have that on top of that, that persona and that performance ability and the material.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what do you got to lose? You should try it. You know,
I would go and do 2-item minimum.
And I'll lie to you. I'll tell you you were fantastic, even when you sucked, you know?
Oh, you mean you guys would actually be in the audience?
Of course.
Well, that's even more terrifying now.
Then maybe not. That was the question. We would go
and we would be just in the front row. Me and Danny just staring at you.
You bitches heckle me. I'll jump off and I'll strangle both of you.
Well, what if we...
That would be a funny bit.
Wait, what if we had planned heckling?
What?
What if we had planned heckling? Like we kind of scripted it. And like, you suck. And then you had like a really witty comeback.
You're
and everybody's
right.
Like, oh, ah. But
then everybody see us walk out together. Ha ha.
Well, no, but I mean, who gives a shit when it's over? I mean, you want your tight five. They applaud.
Yeah. There it is. Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Here's a guy that comes with his own hecklers.
Yeah.
That's funny, man.
Oh, man. Well.
Well.
You should try it, Cal. What do you got to lose?
I don't know.
A little sleep the night before.
Yeah.
So I was talking to Danny before we went on the air here.
Yeah, and it was late. Yeah.
Very proud. This is my 7th day without marijuana.
Wow.
So you're probably wondering what it was like. It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. It's a bit of a struggle. I think I'm through it. Headaches for sure. Right. Some insomnia, but I had 2 nights of nightmares. And that's one of the side effects. Yeah.
Oh,
I've
really?
I've also lost weight. That's one of the side effects of it, of withdrawal is weight loss, right? Because you lose your appetite. So I'm like even skinnier now and I have bleach blonde hair. I look like a anorexic professional wrestler. Great. I'm going to make it, guys. I'm going to make it. I'm feeling pretty
good. Okay. So what are you going? Okay. First of all, you got to put the weight back on. You got to be healthy.
I'm working on that. Yeah.
All right. Do we get you? I mean, is there some junk food that we can, you know, slip you or, you know, I mean,
I've been eating stuff I don't usually eat, like ice cream, you know, I mean, I'll get
back. Oh, good, good, good.
Because what goes with weed is at night, the munchies. So I used
yeah, but you don't eat any of that stuff.
My No, but I'll eat a lot of something, you know, and I cram
it. Carrots,
right?
Yeah, but carrot sticks isn't going to put the poundage on you.
Don't do that. But nuts and shit, you know, cheese and nuts. Anyway, no.
So, but let me ask you a question. Do you think that you had a problem with marijuana? Did you, I mean, I was looking up a website, like what are the symptoms of marijuana withdrawal? And one of the things it says, like, you know, approximately six in 2022, approximately 6.7% of people or 19 million individuals had a marijuana use disorder. I don't know. I mean, do you think that you used too much marijuana?
Yeah. But I think daily, yes, too much. Mm-hmm. But the word would be dependency, right? That I don't know. Did I have a dependency?
Yeah.
But a disorder is different.
I counted on it every night. Is that a dependency?
Yeah.
To me, a dependency is like you're really suffering without it. And I'm not really suffering. I would not say that.
Yeah. But you, like, four weeks ago, you didn't miss it because you were taking it. you were using it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like food. I never miss food.
I never miss food because have you had anger, irritability, and aggression?
Yes. Oh, are you talking to Kelly?
Yeah.
More irritable, but not crazy.
It does say strange and unsettling dreams and
that
decreased really appetite, depression, insomnia, tremors. Have you had any tremors?
No. Huh. You know, I've had the insomnia, definitely decreased appetite, mm-hmm. lost weight. Yeah.
I'm going to ask you this.
I'm going to make it. I feel kind of proud, actually. Yeah. What were you going to say, Danny?
Well, you know, obviously now that you're not doing that, you have more time on your hands. So now what are you going to do with that time? And is there any other things that you're looking forward to?
What kind of time on his hands? What do you mean? He's just stoned. And so he can do something productive.
Well, I might spend an hour in the evening talking to my wife or something now.
Okay, good. You know, because, you know, you're going to substitute that disorder on something else. So just be careful. You don't go down a bad road here. You know,
what, like Oxy?
I was thinking more of like self-pleasure, you know, that kind of
stuff. What exactly do you mean by that?
He's already got two hurt elbows, Danny. How much self-pleasuring is he going to be able to do?
That's when we figured it out. We know what caused the bad elbows.
Okay. There it is.
There it is. Fun. You're going to have to, I don't know. You're going to have to figure something out here.
Anyway, that's me.
Just lie around the house naked. Well. Hey, it's not going to jerk itself.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm impressed.
Yeah, believe me, it's. You know what was worse was the fear. Hey, that's. Now I'm just. Personally, not everybody. Necessarily. It would go this easily. Okay.
Right.
It really, I mean, half the people have no symptoms from what I've read.
Mm-hmm.
So did you have a question, Danny? Oh yeah. Forgetfulness was one of the side effects. Yeah. What'd you say, Danny?
No, but I was sitting there thinking, okay, so I'm trying to think of how, you know, to relate. So I used to smoke cigarettes, but then I stopped.
Yeah.
I had no withdrawals, no nothing, no problems.
How long and how many cravings? I mean, you were just a bar smoker?
I probably given half a pack a day. Okay.
And what I'm very surprised that you had no cravings because nicotine is, I believe, even worse.
Yeah.
You got away easy then, I think.
Yeah.
Was it all prayer?
What'd you say?
Prayer. No. That's how he got through it. Oh, Jesus, maybe, deliver me from the evil nicotine.
No, I don't know why. I think it was, you know, my kids were getting older and I didn't want them to know. And,
you know,
and I would sneak a cigarette. I'd sneak it in the evenings, a couple of cigarettes out behind the garage or whatever.
Yeah, but no.
Where's daddy?
My other
question is, though, you've quit other things, right? Cold turkey or say, I'm not doing that, right?
Or, yeah, I have.
You know, let's say people stop drinking or whatever.
You're calling him a quitter.
Yeah. Was this harder, right?
Than the booze?
Than booze or anything else? And then because the same thing, people have carbs. Eating disorders. Like some people can't stop, like going and they know that they shouldn't, but they go and do a bag of chips every evening after dinner or whatever. So I quit
cigarettes. I would say that was the hardest of the three.
And how old were you then?
21.
You were,
But I remember.
Oh, really?
That was harder.
You quit at 21?
Yeah.
Would your parents just start you at 6?
8.
Well, you know, it gets cold.
He had one of those notes where you could smoke in high school, right? No, we had that in my high school. We had the smoking hall.
Yeah.
And so if your parents said, junior can smoke in school, you would just go between classes. And there
were
teachers.
Did you know anyone who had that pass?
Hell yes.
This is why America has gone downhill.
Yeah, this is the
America
smoking.
Was great when you could. Was
smoking
a,
is what made America great.
It
right?
was.
Yeah. I mean, I remember my mother-in-law was a smoker and nobody else was. And so she would defiantly get up from the table at the old country buffet or wherever we were eating, you know, somewhere, and go sit on the porch and smoke cigarettes with the other people that had been, you know, deported outside to smoke cigarettes instead of smoking at the table like you should.
Right.
You know, let's sit in the smoking section, you know, that kind of thing. And she would sit out there and make friends, you know, to smoke cigarettes. You know, how are you? I'm fine. You know, what do you want to do? Let's smoke cigarettes. What brand do you smoke? Yeah. Well, you know, all these son of a bitches here won't let me smoke in the table. You know, and then she'd become friends with the four people. And it was just like that in high school.
Yeah.
You'd go, you'd walk by the smoking hall and there would be the people all wearing, you know, denim jackets and they're smoking cigarettes. And there's the shop teacher and the PE teacher are smoking and supervising. So it's just, you know, whatever. And it was totally fine. And those were the cool kids.
Those were the good old days.
Yeah. I would have been the world's greatest smoker. The only reason I didn't smoke is because my grandfather died from a throat cancer from smoking and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and I'm like, well, that is terrible. But man, I am that kind of personality. I could fucking smoke. I could.
And it was
hacks a day.
Even if you weren't a smoker, it was cool.
No, when I was in college, everybody, like my kids in college, nobody smokes. When I was in college, nobody didn't smoke. I mean,
you were the lone wolf.
I was the nerd. I wasn't drinking because I wasn't 21. My roommate smoked marijuana, grew marijuana, did hash. Guys across the hall were, you know, nobody was injecting anything as far as I know, but anything you could snort, eat, drink, dip, whatever, they were doing all of it, and I was just kind of like watching, you know, that kind of thing. And now kids in college, pussies, you know, do anything.
Well, our kids all went to the same high school, and I was talking to my daughter about it, and I was telling her that when I was in high school, I don't know, like 20% of the kids smoked, maybe, or 15%, and she said, boy, if somebody lit up around the school now, it'd be like, what the hell, you know?
Yeah.
Not the kids don't really. Oh, they vape though, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, they vape and
which is addictive.
Yeah, they vape, but you know who knows what's in those pens? Is it just cherry flavored oil, and you're just making a smoke ring, or is it really nicotine, that kind of stuff? And because weed is legal, I mean, can't you get it when you're 18 or 21 or whatever?
I think 21, isn't it?
I mean,
I have no idea.
I don't know, but I mean,
anyway,
you can get it. Your mom can get it for you, and you can just smoke all the weed you want. Yeah.
So Kelly, go back to, so normally you would, you had a routine with your weed smoking, or I mean your in marijuana intake. Like, you know, I'm going to go after dinner, I'm going to go sit outside and do a few drops or whatever.
Pretty much.
So yes. that was almost like a, you know, like your evening or whatever. So now, does that pop into your brain? Or do you just like...
Not as often as you'd think.
Oh, really?
It might just be a passing, oh, it'd be nice. And then the movie I'm watching catches my attention.
Hmm.
That's about it for me. That's about as bad as it is.
Do you guys?
Not so bad.
I ask you a question. Do you guys have what I call like idle time, where you just kind of don't do anything? You don't watch TV.
Oh my God! Yes.
You don't read. No, you just no, you don't do anything. You don't. You know, you don't pick up the guitar, you don't do this, you don't go on search the internet for something or whatever.
What do you mean? We're just like standing in the hallway?
You mean sitting in a chair looking at the wall? No.
Yeah. Or you know.
There's always the TV or something is on or something.
Yeah. Interesting. Or reading,
wait, Danny, do you have idle time where you're just
not
doing anything?
Yes. More than I realize. You know,
What does that look like? What is idle time where you're not doing anything?
Well, it's usually I'm thinking about stuff, right? Because I try not to, you know, I put the damn phone away because that thing, that's a fucking drug. Sorry.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Is. It's horrible, right? And I find myself, you know, when I was, it actually start feeling bad if I start scrolling, you know. And you can't just do, like, let's say I'm going to, like, for example, let's say I'm looking up shades for my new pagoda, right? Well, okay, you do that for a bit, and next thing you know, you're off to five other things, and I'm like, you know, and there's an hour gone, and I can't do that anymore. So yeah, the idle time I have is I usually, when I'm home, I'm sitting outside. Sometimes I do have a drink, sometimes I don't. I'm just sitting there thinking, okay, I need to just kind of veg a little bit here and think. And I do think, but I try not to. I don't want to busy myself up, even though my body's like saying, well, let's do something. Let's go research that. Let's go read that. Let's go watch a show. Let's go do this. Let's go tend to those plants, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I've been finding that the more I do that, right, on some days it's great, but on other days it gives me so much anxiety, but I don't know what else to do. Right. Because then I don't want to get in the middle of a project, or I don't want to sit down and commit an hour and a half to a show, right. Or TV. I don't know. This is where the
masturbation thing comes in, I think. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay. So there's 12 minutes gone. Now what? You know?
Well, do you have, I mean,
if
you,
I have a drink, you, it's more like 15.
This is the episode, the one episode our kids are going to choose to play for their girlfriends. Listen to this. My dad.
This will be the episode they play at our memorial. But
Well, we help them with the tilting of the axis.
Yeah.
Know?
I mean,
or the tilting.
Who
of the
knew
axis.
It was predicted here first?
Yeah.
But the, Danny, you have a lot of interests and hobbies, and you're kind of a mediocre hoarder, things like that. It seems like you wouldn't have a ton of free time.
I think
to think about things. I mean,
I guess you could think about things while you're
going through some of the tubs in the garage, or you're pulling weeds, or picking oranges.
I agree with you. I, Danny, that's my impression of you too. I can't picture you sitting in a chair.
Yeah.
I do. And maybe it's because I have so much, and then it overwhelms me, and that's a way for me not to have the anxiety. But I was curious to you guys. I mean, you know, you guys too. I mean, yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm a little more of a hoarder, but you guys got all kinds of interest in things that you do, right?
I'm speaking for myself, not as much as you think. I mean, I've only just picked up the guitar now, like first time in a year kind of thing.
That's amazing to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found
Man,
myself.
Man, do my fingers hurt. Jeez.
Oh, don't they?
Get in there. But I have stopped reading. And I don't know if it's like poor eyesight and I need better glasses, or I just don't have anything compelling, you know. But
maybe
like
it's
wife,
the damn phone.
Could be any of that. But I think that you know, my wife's reading all the time. She's in this book club or whatever, and I kind of never read anymore. And I used to have like a book by the bedside and you do that kind of thing. But
yeah.
But now I'm just I just you know.
Do you watch television, John? Okay, I'm sorry.
You know, I might watch a you know, I might watch an episode of something, but I don't really, you know, I might watch the news on a Tuesday night, you know, NBC News or something like that. But I really don't have the TV on, you know,
yeah.
Record Saturday Night Live, that kind of thing. Might do that. But
John, let me ask you this. This thing where you don't read anymore, is that possibly since the pandemic started?
Maybe.
Why? Why would that make a difference?
Long COVID?
No, I was just thinking about my wife. She doesn't read much anymore either, but I don't think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Hers came after.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, it's like thing. I mean, I had a book that I had read before, like the Da Vinci Code or something like that. I'm like, "Oh, you know, I'd like to read this again because I remember it was a real page turner, you know, short chapters, mm-hmm. you could really read that." So I read like the beginning of it, and then it got into the part where you're talking about the bad guys and the organization and all. I'm like, lost interest in it, right? And it's just like, maybe it was because I read it before. And then when I went to New Orleans, these friends of mine, they gave me a book about some Italians in World War II. Not my vibe, but I read a little bit of it on the plane. I'm like, well, this is not catching my attention. You know, I kind of need, you know, kind of funny, those kind of, and I used to read all kinds of these little, you know, Carl Hiaasen novels or, you know, all these kind of things, just a bunch.
Yeah, those
of,
are fun.
Yeah. I mean, all kinds.
Those are fun.
Yeah. And now I think I've read them all. I don't know if there's any left, but I'm just kind of like, I don't feel like looking up stuff on my phone apps or, you know, going and buying a book for $10 at the airport or whatever that is. I just, you know, just kind of gave up on it.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Do you not, something happens to me now when Danny, you talk about that thing sitting and doing absolutely nothing.
Just idle. Being
I have this thing. And speaking of addictions, I reach for my phone. Let's go see what's on CNN. When I have a free moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's check my email. And so.
I mean, I do that. Sure. I do a little TikTok.
Yeah. Which is a bit of a dependency. Maybe.
Well, that's why, you know, it's funny, you know, a lot of times you guys will text me or whatever during the evenings or weekends. I'm getting into the habit, and I've done it more, but I'm trying to do it even more. Right. My phone needs to be put away in one spot. I turn it up in case somebody calls or whatever. Right. But I put it there and I don't have it within reach. I don't like,
yeah,
if I'm working outside. Exactly. Or if I'm in the garage doing,
that's
something.
Okay. We can always text your wife because she's got it in her hands at all times. So it's no problem.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You know, the best thing to do is text my daughter and then she can alert the 5,000 million ways of getting a hold of us that she does. I don't know.
Well, I could text your daughter who is currently on the phone with your wife and say, tell Danny to call me.
Ah, you just pinned, you know,
there
my
you
life
go.
Right
I
there.
Figured it out. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that if I keep the phone away, and you know, and by the way, you've got to have the phone now because that's how people reach you. If there's an emergency and you've got kids,
you
do. But at the same time, it doesn't have to be, you know, this appendage, you know, to me.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah.
But I do catch myself like, you know, I should probably go check my phone, you know, every now and then. And I'm like, No, I don't need to do that, right? If my wife's not here, if my kids are not home, whatever, I will. It goes back to the old days, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody, if, you know, sometimes you weren't reachable.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like when you say, "Oh, I need to have my phone because of, you know, what if my daughter's in a car wreck? What if, you know, the car place, whatever." But you don't need to have that.
No.
Right. I mean, they can leave a message. Hey, I'm out of gas on the side of the road. Well, you know, what the hell am I going to do about it? You know, I mean, it's nice when your kids live in another state and there's nothing you can do. I mean, there's nothing you can do.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. That reminds me. I remember, you guys probably know this, but when I was 14, my stepfather died. Right. And an interesting story was that I was at school at baseball practice. Right. And my job was to go into the office, the athletic office. They let you use their phone. I would call home and I would call my stepdad, right, and tell him that I'm ready to be picked up, and he would drive and get me because mom was working, right, and she didn't get off till 6 or whatever, and this is like 3:45, whatever. Anyway, call You know, so again, I don't, you know, he doesn't want to come and sit and wait. So I got to call him and tell him when I'm ready. So I call the house. There's no answer. Well, that's very strange. What do you mean there's no answer? You know, because he knows I'm calling. I know he's home.
Yeah.
Right. So I wait a few minutes. Right. And said, okay, well, maybe he stepped outside or took the trash out or whatever. Blah, 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 blah. Call again. This time somebody answers the phone. It's our neighbor, Larry, who's a state police, Indiana State Police. And I'm like, oh, what's up? And he goes, Danny, I'll be picking you up. Your father, you know, had an episode and he's on his way to the hospital, but I will be picking you up. Right. So, you know, that's all I knew. So I went outside, told him where I went and he picked me up in the squad car
I was going to ask you.
He picked me up in the squad car and, you know, and I was saying, hey, Larry, I said, well, what happened? Well, we believe he had another heart attack. I'm okay. It was okay. Well, I don't know, Dan, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, no, he knew, you know, he had died at home. Right. And, but my whole point was that was an hour, right? Now with a phone, you had a phone, you know, instantly, you know, if my mom would have had a phone or whoever, I would have known, oh, listen, you know,
yeah,
your father, you know, passed away, died or whatever. So, right. You know, you're going back to that whole thing of where, you know, you need to have the phone in case there's emergencies. Well, there are always emergencies. The timing was different. You figured out how to communicate it. But also, I think it took a little bit of the worry out of life, right? Because now I think of the phone as like, you know, I mean, come on, guys. If my phone rings and it's one of my, you know, one of my kids, depending on the time of day, okay, all the things and all what I know is going on, I get a little bit of a lump. I'm going, like, what's going on? You know, which is absolutely ridiculous, right? Or if I get a call from somebody I haven't heard from, you know, or even my mom calls, she usually texts me. If I get a call from my mom going, I immediately go, and this is something's wrong. And I never used to do that, you know?
Hmm. I'll tell you why.
Why is that?
I think I know. They couldn't text you before. For instance, my daughter, if she texts me,
mm-hmm.
I just go, oh, there's a text. Oh. And that it can, it's the littlest thing.
Right.
When the phone rings and I see it's her.
Yeah.
See, but back then, Danny, there was one way, you phone, even if it's for small talk and let's have a coffee.
Yeah. But your daughter, when she calls you,
yeah,
is it a, you know, 3-alarm fire or is it just, oh, do you add garlic salt when you make the, you know?
Mm-hmm.
No. It's usually something like, oh, I don't know. So it is something that needs attention. But the way my head works is I jump to, uh-oh.
But let me ask you this. When you were a kid or when before cell phones, when your phone rang, were you in doom and gloom?
I didn't have a cell phone. What do you mean?
No, I'm talking about your regular house phone.
Yeah.
Back
no,
in the
I
day.
Didn't.
No. Psychologically, though, I actually enjoyed when my house phone would ring because somebody's reaching out. This is great. Now, if my phone rings.
Would you like a subscription to the.
Exactly. Well, that's before those shitheads. But, you know, my whole psychologically approach to a phone ringing has changed because you're right. Texting is safe.
Yeah. It's not a big deal
phone
if it's a
call.
Text usually.
Oh,
yeah.
Phone call. That could be serious.
That's exactly it.
And I just hate that, you know. Anyway,
I don't feel that way at all. I have a dissenting opinion here. So, my phone rings from my kids and my family members and stuff all the time, and it's just, you know, hey, how's it going? Or you know, I have a question about this, or you know, whatever. It's never anything, you know, really terrible. And
it's
I don't
different
and
than
I,
mine than me.
Yeah, and I don't have any anxiety about it. And I, you know, because of the nature of my job, like I'm on a call and I can't get a call or whatever. I might if I got like two calls in a row, you know, maybe I'd be like, oh yeah, I should pick this up or whatever. But most of the time it's just you know, you get a call, they leave a message, you can call back.
Yeah.
Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah. And I think it
not for me.
Yeah, it depends on the person. And it, you know, that's the other thing, too. We do have the benefit now of knowing who's calling us. Back in the day, you never knew.
That's right.
You had to pick it up. Yeah, and I was much more optimistic, you know. Oh, who this person's calling me? And then you're right, it's a you know, oh, well, we're calling come from the, you know, veterans, you know, would like to know if you'd like to donate. Like, no, thanks, bye. You know, I was hoping you were the hot girl that I was, you know, that got my number and wants to go out with me, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah, because the hot girls, they call all the time. Yeah. That's what I would do.
Well, for some of us they did.
For the hot girls.
Some of us got those calls quite a bit.
On that note,
yikes! All right. Over.
Thank you, America, for listening. You guys, be well, man. It's always a pleasure. Stay cool today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Talk to you later.
Tell me a tale. It's the cocktail hour. I said, tell me a tale. It's the cocktail.